Hi, welcome back to The Wisdom of Your Soul. I'm Janice Mary, your host, and I'm so glad that you've joined us. I have so many interesting things to talk about this morning. I just got back from a wonderful workshop with John Holland and Joe Scheel. They're both very, very experienced mediums. And I went with two really good friends of mine that happen to be mediums also. And we just had a blast. We had so much fun. And, you know, when we connect into our soul energy and find our gifts, spirit has a way of bringing people to us and opportunities to us. So I really look at this workshop as a gift to me and to help me to develop the gift of mediumship. Because when I started to connect into my soul, that was one of the things I realized that I could do, that I could feel the spirit surround me. And I could feel their personalities and get some information from them and let people know that they're around them still and that they're not gone, that they're fully alive. They're just in the spirit world. You know, they have a world that's similar to ours, but in spirit, you know, in some ways a lot different and a lot easier because they don't have to worry about the body, the health of the body. They have no body concerns. What does my body look like? What does my body feel like? You know, when you're in spirit, you're just in your mind. And, you know, it's easier to just let go because you don't have all the concerns that we have. So when we talk about the soul and the soul being unlimited, because we all are unlimited souls, not like we're taught here, that we are limited earthly beings. The soul has a completely different take on us. The soul says we are completely unlimited and we have gifts beyond we could ever imagine. So like I said, one of the gifts I have is mediumship, and I've had a lot of fun developing, but I'll be honest with you, it's not an easy thing to develop because it takes, I think, a lot of courage. Because when you sit down to do a reading for somebody, you never know if someone's going to even come. And you may have this person sitting in front of you that's in bereavement, in grief, that wants so much for you to connect to their loved ones. And, you know, the pressure to do that is pretty high, you know. And the pressure comes from wanting to be able to prove to somebody that their loved ones are around them and love them and are taking care of them and watching out for them. And that's not an easy task. That is not an easy task. So I have nothing but respect for mediums, especially mediums that are in the spotlight like that. You know, John Holland and Joe Scheel that are doing these platform readings. There's no way I could do that. I mean, I can't even imagine the pressure and the toll that might take on them. There's so much that goes into mediumship. I mean, so much. It's not as easy as it looks. Some mediums make it look so easy, but there's a lot of training involved and there's a lot of prep work. There's a lot that we have to do to be able to connect to the spirit world. So, you know, I always try to educate people that, you know, this is not as easy as it looks. So when my clients come in and they say, oh, I just had a reading and they were okay. You know, I think that maybe they were making it up or I think they're a fraud or a phony. I kind of tell people, I don't think so. I don't think anybody's a fraud or a phony. I think they're doing the best that they can. Some spirits honestly are not easy to talk to for whatever reason, you know, whether it's us, whether it's them, it's the communication, you know, there's no blame. It's just sometimes it's not that perfect mix. So that is something that, you know, every medium struggles with. And because most readings, I would say, can be, you know, they're not 100% because we're not, you know, a computer, we're not a machine. You know, we're going to interpret things the way we interpret things. And sometimes that may not match your interpretation. So it could feel wrong. Or we get a message and completely misinterpret the message. And so the person can feel that that's wrong. I know a lot of times I'll get initials for the spirits that have passed. And a lot of times the initials are not the spirit itself. It's someone that they're connected to that they want to talk about because there's something going on in that person's life. And then sometimes it is their name. So I never know. But what they were teaching us in this workshop is to talk to the spirit world and tell them what we like and what we don't like and what we're having problems in. So again, that communication with the spirit world, that communication, that opening up, going into the realms of the unlimited, is really, really important. So when you're in your soul energy and you open up, you're going to find you have gifts. You know, whether it's clairvoyance, whether you can hear things, see things, feel things, know things, you know, whether you can feel spirits around you, you know, you will have your own gifts. And there'll be gifts that you're comfortable with. You know, you're not going to open up to a gift that is so scary or horrifying to you. It just doesn't happen. You know, mediumship, when I started realizing I could connect to the spirit world, didn't scare me not one bit because it's who I am. So if you're a psychic, it's not going to scare you. If you're an intuitive, it's not going to scare you. If you're a pet communicator, it's not going to scare you. So you don't have to worry about opening up into the spirit world like, oh no, what if my gift is this and I can't handle it? You know, your soul is you, and your soul knows you intimately and knows what scares you and would never, you know, expose you to something that's going to hurt you. You know, and that's where trust comes in. You know, trusting our soul, trusting spirit. And that was a big theme in the mediumship workshop this weekend, was trusting that spirit is there for us and trusting that spirit will give us the messages in the best way that they can. And really all we have to do is be that vessel between the spirit world and the person sitting in front of us, that we're basically the space in the straw. So if you look at a straw, you know, we're that space. We allow the messages to come through that space to give to people that really need them. And the spirit world will bring people to us that need messages and need support. And that it just works beautifully that way. So it is something that we really, you know, work really, really hard. And, you know, doing a weekend workshop, you know, who, you know, is going to spend a weekend learning about mediumship except somebody that's really, really passionate about mediumship? You know, most people might, you know, go, you know, to the beach or do other things. But when you have a passion and you're developing something, it's almost like you can't help but want to work on it. And that's what happens when you connect to your soul energy. It's just very, very natural. It's just something that that we do. So I hope that you continue to go into your soul energy so you can feel the unlimitedness of you, so that you can feel, what is my gift? What do I have? And what do I have to share? It's really, really fascinating. It's fascinating to watch people work. It's fascinating to see people's gifts, you know, whether it's psychic or whether it's mediumship. It's a very, very magical world, and you benefit from that world. You benefit from the wisdom, and you benefit from mostly the love. One of the mediums, Joe Scheel, is a very spiritual person, and I can tell when he connects to his soul energy. He actually wrote a whole book, which I bought. It's called The Edge of Wilderness. And this book is poems, prayers, and songs. And they're beautiful. They're just beautiful poems and prayers. And, you know, he's expanding into his soul energy when he's writing this. It's so obvious to me, because when I do my posts, I feel it's very poetic, or I feel that it's, you know, comes from a different place. So he really, you know, really opens up to his soul, not only through his readings, but also through, you know, just in general, and through his writings, and then through his artwork. You know, when he's painting a spirit, you know, he's opening up to his soul energy to feel, you know, what does this person look like? You know, what is this person that I'm communicating look like? And they're impressing on his nervous system all the things that he should draw. And it's just amazing, and it's fascinating to watch. I would highly recommend it. I would recommend if, you know, if you miss somebody in the spirit world, to try a mediumship reading. But just to try to be very, very open about it. You know, the medium in front of you is working really, really hard for you and is really trying to do their best. So it's kind of like a co-collaborative venture that you have to also work in trying not to give too much information, but to validate for the person that, yes, what you're saying is making sense without giving a lot of information, because the less information you give to your medium, the more that they can ask the spirit. You know, if you tell the medium all about your loved one, then they're not going to have a lot of evidence to tell you about them. So let the medium give you all the evidence that they can, and let the medium ask you, does this make sense? And just say yes or no, you know, and try to really search, does this make sense? You know, don't shut down if you hear something that doesn't resonate. So if a medium gets, you know, 5 or 6 things right, and then one thing is wrong, you know, don't discount all the 5 or 6, because like I said, that we're not perfect. So we might get 5 or 6 pieces of information right, and then something kind of gets not heard correctly, or maybe another spirit is coming through. There could be many, many reasons. So you want to stay as open as possible when you're getting a reading. So that you can help, you know, boost the medium's energy and not lower it. So when we are getting a reading and the person's saying, no, 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 you know, that basically kind of flatlines the medium's energy. And it's all about energy. The way you can connect to the spirit world is raising your energy, and the spirits lower their energy. So it goes like that, so that we can meet in the middle to communicate. And it's not an easy thing to do. So I feel like we need a little bit more education on mediumship in general, so that mediums can feel a little bit less scared to kind of come out and do this. You know, one of the biggest things that I felt a lot of the people in the workshop were, you know, they were apprehensive and they were doubting themselves. And they didn't feel like they were good at this, or good enough to do readings, or good enough to charge for readings. And, you know, that's pretty common when you're a beginning medium, because your messages are kind of hit or miss. So you feel that way. So it's not an easy job, you know, it really isn't. So, you know, have patience and compassion and kindness towards the person that's doing the reading for you. It may seem very easy, but it's not. You need a lot of training. You need, you know, working on yourself, mostly spiritually, because if your ego is in the way, whether your ego is beating you up and saying you can't do it, or your ego is saying, you know, I'm going to be the next one to have a TV show, which, you know, we saw some people doing that. Either way, that ego is either, you know, putting us down to the point that we can't function, or putting us on such a pedestal that we can't live up to that. So either way, that's not really so good when we do that. But so when we go into the soul energy, the soul will support us and calm us down and say, you know, this is going to take time. You know, these are the steps. This is what I want you to do. And they'll bring books into your lives, and they'll bring people into your lives. I have a friend also that I met through one of the circles that I was doing, one of the mediumship circles. And I had been looking for years and years and years for my own circle. And I couldn't find one. So I decided, oh, I'll just start my own circle. And it's a beautiful thing doing your own mediumship circle. And I love doing it. But I also wanted something for me. You know, I wanted my own circle. That was my intention when I had started the mediumship circles. And I could never find one. Lo and behold, she comes in and says, you know, I go to this mediumship circle, and, you know, maybe you should think about coming. And I love it. It's a wonderful circle by another very experienced medium that can share his wisdom and guidance with us, because you need it. And mostly support. You really, really need support. It's not an easy thing to do. So having that earthly support with the mediums here, and then having that spiritual support. So what I have been doing is that also I've been calling on mediums that have passed to help guide me and help teach me. One of the books that I've been reading, Dora Stokes, if you're interested in mediumship, and she was a famous medium and a wonderful medium. And so I've been asking for her help in my mediumship to kind of guide me and help me with my messages. So you can ask specific people, even if you don't know them, to help you, because her passion for mediumship is going to be right in line with my passion for it, because that was her life. She did mediumship most of her life. So you can call on people that have passed that have similar passions as you. So if you are an artist, you know, you can call on the art masters to help guide you and teach you. So not only can we have the support of people here, we can have the support of people passed on, and they're still there, and they're still developing their passions. So that's just another thing that we can do when we tap into our soul energy, which is just an amazing thing. So like, what is your passion? You know, when you go into your soul energy, you're going to find something. So as we continue to develop, and as we continue to go into the soul energy, you're just going to feel your boundaries of this world soften and disappear. There's no limits. Again, there's just no limits to what your soul can do, spirit can do. Yes, there's limits in the body, but you don't have to go by that. You don't have to restrict yourself. So anything that you want to do, anything that's a passion for you. So if you wanted to open up a new restaurant, you know, ask your soul for guidance. Ask for all the doors, all the right doors to open up. And if it's the right time, you know, if it's the right time for a new business or a new venture, you know, things will happen, and it will happen. If perhaps it's not the right time, then, you know, maybe some doors are going to shut. So it's okay. We can accept that and say, okay, well, let me just go to the next thing. So whatever it is that you're passionate about or interested in, you know, include the spirit world in your life, and ask for direction, and ask for signs, you know, ask for people in spirit to help you. Ask for the masters of whatever your passion is to help you. You know, this is how we get all the support, all the earthly support that we need through spirit and through other people. The spirit world can bring people into our lives. So it doesn't just come in the form of our soul. You know, it comes in the form of books, and it comes in the form of other people. So stay open, you know, just stay open to that. And every single time a limited thought comes into your mind, write it down. Write down that thought. I can't do that because I'm not good enough. Or I can't do that because, you know, I don't really know what I'm doing. I can't do that because I'm scared. You know, you can talk back to those thoughts and say, well, you know, is that really true? Can I really not do that? Well, I can do that. But the question is, do I want to? So sometimes I find with my clients and myself, we pick things that maybe aren't the right things for us, or it's not our passion, or it's not something that's 100% what we want to do. And we try to make it work. And when it doesn't work, we blame ourselves. It's like, you see, you know, if I was good enough, that would have worked. And that's just not the truth. That's not what's going to happen. You know, what will work is what is really your passion, what is good for you, and really what's available to you at this moment. So always keep an open mind to that. And when these limiting thoughts come in your mind about yourself and other people, which they will, it's very easy to get triggered. You know, it's very easy for all of us to get triggered, especially, you know, if we're having a hard time ourselves. You know, it's very easy to take it out on ourselves and other people. So our goal is really to keep saying, do I have to believe this? And when I do believe this, how do I feel? You know, it may feel like I'm saying the same thing over and over, but how many times do we have to hear that? We do have to hear it quite a bit, because unconsciously we just believe our thoughts. We just instantly believe them and get affected by them. And if we allow ourselves to stay in these thoughts too long, they start generating feelings. And the feelings that they generate are not good, no fun, and make us feel horrible. So if we can kind of catch it early, if we could say, okay, there's a limiting thought. There's a limiting thought. you know, I'm going to think them. I'm not going to stop thinking them, but I don't have to believe them. And that's the difference. So, you know, as a therapist, there was always the why. Why am I feeling this way? Where is this coming from? And there is a time when you do want to find out the why. Why do I think the way that I think? Why do I feel the way that I feel? And you can spend some time in that and really exploring so that you really can make sense of you, so that you can say, okay, I know why I feel this way based on my upbringing, based on the people that were around me and guiding me. I can see why I think what I think and I feel what I feel. But I want to move past that. You know, I want to move past that. I don't want to get stuck in that. And I don't want to be a victim of my earlier upbringing. You know, my early upbringing is from, you know, birth to 21. We'll even push it. 21, we'll go to even 26 when we still have health insurance now. So if that was the time in our lives that we were guided by society and our parents and everybody in our, you know, extended family, you know, after that point, after 21, you know, then we're kind of on our own, and we want to take responsibility for what we're creating. We don't want to keep saying, well, it was because I was treated that way, you know, that this is happening. And again, we want to have a lot of compassion for ourselves and say, yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense. Yes, because maybe this happened to me when I was younger, you know, maybe because I was neglected or I wasn't listened to, that I feel I can't trust people. And I don't feel like people are interested in me, and I don't feel like people are going to be there for me. So, you know, we can continue with that kind of thought based the seed coming from your childhood, or you can say, you know what, how is that helping me? How does it help me to not trust people? You know, what kind of energy does that put me in, the non-trusting of people? Yeah, sure. You know, people's personalities are moody. I tell my clients all the time, we're all moody. And on any given day, you can see the best in somebody or the worst in somebody. But you know what? We're all the same. We're all doing it. So why don't we not take it so seriously? Like when a child is having a temper tantrum, or when a young child is just, you know, freaking out over something and being mean. You know, if we can detach and not take that so personally, then when other people do it, we're not so shocked, we're not so appalled, and we're not so wounded. You know, we're not so wounded. So depending on what our earlier wounds are, is what's going to get triggered. So it really doesn't matter what they are. They can be very serious wounds. I mean, I think all wounds from childhood are very serious, and we deserve a lot of compassion for getting through our childhood and surviving it. So now we're all survivors of our childhood. And there was, I'm sure, many beautiful things that happened. And there are many things that shouldn't have happened for all of us. And, you know, this is the time now that when that imprint from the childhood is being played out in your life now, that you challenge yourself. That you say, okay, enough is enough. I'm not doing this to myself anymore. I'm not going to keep believing that I'm that child that can't do anything. I'm not going to keep believing that I'm not good enough. Because when I do, how does that make me feel? You know, it just makes me feel horrible. So the goal really is to just question every single belief you have and say, whose belief is this? First of all, whose belief is this? Is it my parents' belief? Is it society's belief as a whole? Whose belief is this? Do you know? I have a lot of women that come in and will say, you know, I don't know why, but I'm like obsessed with my weight. You know, like, why am I so crazy about my weight? You know, I don't understand that. You know, a lot of women aren't, and I'm like crazy about what I eat and you know, what's wrong with me? And I'll be like, well, you know, you got really good training from the world. And of course you're obsessed about your weight. I mean, we have a society that is very body focused. So how you look, what you look like, what you're doing with your body, you know, and there's lots and lots and lots in judgment. So if your body's overweight, you're judged. If you're too thin, you're judged. If you're saying that your body needs to rest too much, you're lazy. If you, you know, are not traveling enough with your body, if you're not going places and doing things, that's judged. So this is the subtle messages that our family and society gives us. And it's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. We just don't want to believe it. And we just want to say, okay, well, you know, because everyone in the world is focused not so much on their body, obviously I learned that lesson. And obviously I learned that belief. And this, and that's okay. That's okay. I got that one down pat. You know, the world has taught me, you know, my beliefs, and I've learned them so, so, so well. So I know my belief system, you know, based on my family and based on the world, I have incorporated like nobody else. And they will, those beliefs will always be there. And a lot of those beliefs don't make me feel good. So when they pop up, and they will, then, you know, when you connect into your soul, it's not like your beliefs go away. You know, they'll always pop up. It's just, what are you going to do with them when they do pop up? You know, are you going to believe them and then just live in that all day? Or are you going to challenge it and say, well, here it is. Here's that earthly limited belief that if my body's not a certain way, or I'm not a certain way, that there's something really wrong with me. You know, if I'm not making enough money, or if I don't live in a beautiful house, there's something wrong with me. You know, if I'm not in a relationship, that's another one. You know, being single, if you're not in a relationship, there's something wrong with me. So it's really important for all of us to not believe those things, to just not believe them and say, oh, okay, that's just the world and the criteria that the world has set. And who decided that? You know, who decided all these things are true? You know, so we want to move out of that, and we want to help ourselves. So it's really it's a kind of a process of learning about your childhood, seeing, oh, this makes sense. This is why I feel the way I feel. So when someone triggers me, it makes sense that I feel sad when someone doesn't listen to me. It makes sense that I withdraw. That makes sense. I just don't want it to continue. I want to say, that was then, let me leave it in the past, and let me move into the present. And in the present, it's a fresh start, it's a clean slate. You know, we all have a new day, and we get to focus in a way that is going to make us happy. So if my focus is learning mediumship, because that's my passion and something I love, I'm not going to be so much in those other thoughts, because I'm doing something that I love. I had a wonderful weekend with wonderful people, doing things that I love, laughing and having a great time. So I was not in my, you know, ego energy, which is, you're not good enough, and you know, you need to work on yourself, and you know, wasn't in that energy. I was in a really, really good energy. So that was good. And that's what we all can do. So whatever your passion is, you know, whatever you like to do, you'll be able to do it full force, because your ego is not going to be holding you back. Your ego isn't going to be saying, no, you can't do that. You're not good enough to you know, you're going to go for a weekend on mediumship. Who are you to do that? You know, that's what the ego would talk, you know, but you're not going to listen to that anymore. So whatever it is that you want to do in your life, you know, whether you want to start a new job, or you want to start, you know, writing, or you want to do poetry, or you want to write a book, you can settle that ego down just by not believing it and just saying, all right, I know my ego's going to tell me I can't do this. I know it. It's just a fact. It's just going to give me a hard time. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to move out of that, and I'm just going to do what I want to do. And the more I do what I want to do, it's like a win-win situation. That will give you the support when you're in that energy of doing something that you love to do. And it moves you very quickly out of those feelings. So it's just a beautiful thing. So when you connect into the soul energy, just connect into it, and then see what develops. What develops for you? What gifts are there for you? What inspirations are there for you? What next thing is it that you want to just learn for the sake of learning, just because you're interested in it, just because you are drawn to it? You know, what are you drawn to? You know, what fields are you drawn to? What music are you drawn to? You know, all these subtle pulls to things is really our soul, you know? So if you, the type of music that you like, or the colors that you like, or the clothes that you like to wear, or how you like to spend your day, how you truly like to spend your day, not what you think the world wants you to spend your day. You know, the world will tell us that a good day is getting 20 things done on your list. But that's not really, that's not the same definition your soul would give you. A good day for your soul is being in a beautiful energy and taking your time and doing what you want to do and reading or relaxing or watching TV or starting a new hobby. Your soul has a very, very different agenda, very, very different agenda. And it's an unlimited agenda, and it never ends. And then when we do go into the spirit world, the good news is that we continue it. We just continue on it, you know, and it's beautiful. One of my friends during this weekend, she does soul regression and past life regression. And she was trained by Brian Weiss. So she did past life regressions with me and my other friend. And it was so fascinating. It was so amazing. And she was so good at it. And we were brought back to different lives that we had. And, you know, that might be hard to believe in this earthly body because we're so connected to this lifetime. We're so connected to this body. But when you do a past life regression, you see, oh my goodness, I've had other lives. And in these lives, some of them were really good and happy and I was content, and some of them were not so good. So it does give you this feeling of less attachment, you know, that if I'm not going to get everything done this lifetime, I have plenty of lifetimes to get it done. And to me, you know, can we prove that 100%? No, we can't prove it 100%. But that feels so much better to me than this is it. This is my only life. When I die, there's nothing left and I better get everything done. Well, that feels like an enormous amount of pressure, enormous amount of pressure. So when you go into the soul energy and you ask and you say, oh, is this past life regression real? You feel it's authentic when you're in the soul energy. But if you're standing in your ego and you ask, is past life regression, is mediumship, is psychic, is all that real? You're going to get a big fat no. Nope. Those people are crazy and none of that is true. And do not expand yourself. Do not open your mind to that. Keep your mind closed and keep it safe. And when you move out of all that and you go into the soul energy, you're going to feel and you're going to know what's true for you. And you know, that helps so much. It just helps an enormous amount. So keep challenging yourself. Keep challenging these beliefs. And when they come up, understand them with compassion and kindness for yourself and understand how hurt you've been and that this hasn't been an easy go. But that you're no longer going to believe that you're limited and you're no longer going to believe that this life is your only life and you're going to expand and you're going to feel the magic of spirit. You're going to feel the magic of your soul and you're going to open up to your gifts, whatever they are. So, you know, just keep asking to feel your soul energy. Move out of that ego. Don't let the ego trap you. Don't let the ego get the best of you. Okay. Have a beautiful day. I hope this helped. If you have any questions or anything that's going on with you, please feel free to leave a comment and I'll talk to you next time. Have a great day.